Before we get going, here's the bit where I remind you that nothing we discussed should be considered as investment advice. This conversation is for informational and hopefully entertainment purposes only. So while we hope you find it both informative and entertaining, please do your own research or speak to a financial advisor before putting a dime of your money into these crazy markets. You're about to listen to a special preview edition of This Week in Doom, featuring my co-host, the inimitable green chicken himself, Doomberg. In this conversation, we take on a couple of recent pieces written by the Doomberg team, Chipshot and Greater Fools, which take a look at China's influence on both the industrial and the political heart of the Western world. And the conversation that followed was absolutely spellbinding. Every episode of the Grant Williams podcast, including The Endgame, The Super Terrific Happy Hour, The Narrative Game, This Week in Doom, Shifts Happen, and Chaos Theory, is available to Copper and Silver Tier subscribers at my website, grant-williams.com. Copper Tier subscribers get access to all the podcasts, while members of the Silver Tier get both the podcast and my monthly newsletter, Things That Make You Go, Hmm. So, if you enjoy what you hear on the show, and you'd like more high-quality content like it, then please make your way over to grant-williams.com and join our exciting community today. And now, on with the show. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of This Week in Doom. Joining me, as always, the other half of the gloomsome twosome, the green chicken himself, Doomberg. Hello, my friend. How the clucking hell are you?
Grant Williams, I'm doing amazing, I must say. Where in the world are you right now? Because I have recorded every episode of this fun podcast in the exact same chair, and I don't think you've recorded two from the same place.
I don't think I have either. I am currently in North Berwick in Scotland, which is one of my favorite places in the world. And normally when one gets to the cusp of June, it's a beautiful place to be. However, this year, things have played out a little bit differently, and I had to go and buy myself a woolly bobble hat this morning. It's so cold and so wet and so grey and so miserable. So sometimes things don't work out quite as you plan them. But who cares? I'm in Scotland. It's beautiful. I love it here.
Yes, it looks like marvellous behind you, and it must be said, I would call that a toque, and it looks like a very fine one.
A toque, yes, a toque. Well, we can call that a toque if you like. You can call it whatever you want. It doesn't change the weather, and if it did, we can call it anything. And the weather forecast, it just says Scottish on the Weather Channel. So I think that just means more grey, wet and windy and cold, but I don't care. It's lovely. So, my friend, it's been a while since we convened to chat about things. And you and I, we've had a couple of false starts with this conversation, the most recent of which was a delay after we learned of the, at that point, potential demise of the Iranian president in the helicopter crash, and we both wanted to see how things played out. So we gave that a couple of days to see if that was the trigger for World War III. So far, it hasn't been. But there's always a ton of stuff to talk about. And you've been incredibly prolific lately. There's been a lot of fantastic stuff that you put out. And the recent piece that caught my eye that I really wanted to talk to you about was the piece that you wrote about the CCP and the people that they were maneuvering into their pockets, should we say, to put it delicately. Why don't we kick off with that piece, and why don't you give us a little summation of what you were writing about?
There's a piece that precedes that one that I think I would start with, because we made a call in the piece that we wrote called Chipshot, which published on April 30th, that the Chinese would win the war on semiconductors. If you define winning as Xi Jinping's national objective to become self-sufficient in the semiconductor industry, basically. Right now, most of the really hard stuff gets done in Taiwan. And we believe, many analysts believe, that should China become self-sufficient with chips, that would be one less barrier to Xi Jinping making a move on Taiwan, which I believe is why the US is working so hard to simultaneously build up our own domestic semiconductor supply chain and to stop China from achieving their objective. And in our view, we made the argument in that piece that China was likely going to win. We've seen this movie before. We've seen how it plays out in the electric vehicle space, in the solar industry. Whenever China puts its entire Chinese Communist Party machinery to work to achieve an industrial objective in the national interest, they have a very, very good track record. And to be clear, semiconductor technology is very, very hard. It's all about the people. The technologists in Taiwan are amongst the most valuable people in the world at the moment. But our view has been that China will do whatever it takes to win, and they likely will, and that this is not being properly internalized in the market. Just as one example, and this is not a stock call, and we own no position, but NVIDIA isn't worth what it's currently trading for if China cracks semiconductors, just as one small example.
Absolutely not, by a long way.
Right. And we're seeing that in electric vehicle space, right? I mean, they're just dominating the space. And so the piece we wrote about that you referred to in your opening question was one we just published on May 20th called The Greater Fools.
Before we get to Greater Fools, let's stick with Chipshop for a minute, just because it was a great piece and we should have started there. You're right. So I'm glad you brought that up. But let's talk a little bit more in detail about that. You know, you talked about Huawei in that piece, and Huawei is something that everybody was familiar with the name Huawei a couple of years ago. And it's kind of faded because of the sanctions and because of the restrictions placed on it. It's kind of disappeared from Western consciousness. It certainly hasn't disappeared in terms of a company. So let's talk a bit about Huawei, what they're doing and where they figure in all this, as you did in the piece. And then let's also dig into the electric car piece, because again, that's a fascinating part of the market now, particularly as Western nations gear up sanctions, which are going to be specifically targeting the electric vehicle space.
So here's how things typically work in China, which we laid out in the piece. China will create a domestic competition, and they will steal intellectual property. They will bribe people. They will spy. They will hack. They will do all these things that you read about in the news. And I can assure you that they are true, just from my own personal experience. For example, suddenly somebody working in your lab ends up at a Chinese state-owned enterprise, and then magically your technology is all over the Chinese market. And then after a while, they pick a national champion. And then that national champion gets all the resources they need. And in this case, they have selected one. And suddenly we're seeing that they're creating chips that Washington, for example, didn't think were within their capabilities. And we're in denial about these developments. Like, we're dismissing the news as proof that China is not yet caught up, because they're only slightly behind. In our view, like, we've seen this movie before. They have selected their champion. Huawei is going to win. And we're seeing now early signs. It could be a combination of pattern recognition meets confirmation bias. But we've long held a hunch that at least some of the frenzy in demand for NVIDIA chips was because of Chinese shell companies pre-buying to evade sanctions. It's going to be interesting to see how true that hunch is, and perhaps if the Chinese feel confident enough that their local champion has put the country in a position where they no longer need to proactively evade the sanctions because they're self-sufficient, we would expect to see some cooling off in the AI bubble frenzy. Now, that, again, be very careful. This is not something that I would use to make a trade. You never want to short a bubble. You get your head blown off. But in our view, this is happening, and we're at the denial stage. And next thing you know, like we talked about in the piece, you're going to see that there's a $10,000 electric vehicle that no Western automaker can compete with. This is exactly what happened in the electric vehicle space. You know, they brought in Tesla. In the automotive sector in general, in order to play ball in China, you had to form joint ventures with state-owned enterprises. Then magically, an unknown company appears with just amazing capabilities and priced so cheaply that the West doesn't believe it's possible. And we're seeing it right now play out in the electric vehicle space. I mean, the BYD Seagull has a 200-mile range and costs you $9,700. And as we said in the piece, the rest of the world is going to welcome radically superior cars at a fraction of what they're used to paying. Japan and Europe and the US may throw up trade barriers to protect their national brands, but those brands are capitalized to compete globally. Toyota, Volkswagen, GM, Ford, and Tesla, just to name a few, are in big trouble. And at a minimum, the scores of billions that are being invested to chase electric vehicles, we think largely driven by the absurd valuation of Tesla, and boards of the other companies trying to do anything in their powers to replicate that in the hopes of getting a higher multiple for their own stocks, which have mostly lagged. China is going to dominate batteries, electric drivetrains, and all the other critical aspects of technology, and now it's only a matter of time.
It is fascinating. And we'll come on to the electric vehicle space in a minute. And I do want to stick on that for a little while, because it is really, really interesting what they're doing. And looking at some of these reviews of the Xiaomi SU7, you know, some of these other cars which are competing with the sportier incumbents are extraordinary in their technology, but also extraordinary in their price. And we'll come back to that. But let's go back to Huawei for a second, because you know, you're right. This whole model of picking the national champion and funneling all kinds of ill-gotten research and proprietary information to them to make sure they win is a pretty familiar playbook for the Chinese. And during a time of, let's call it, equilibrium in the force rather than peace, people have been kind of blasé about it. Now, obviously, we're seeing things ramp up. But what was interesting to me, given the spotlight that Huawei's been under and the contempt within which it's held by just about every Western government, it was really interesting to me that China still made Huawei its champion. Because in years gone by, what the Chinese would have done would be pick another company that wasn't on everybody's radar, funnel this stuff into them, and make them the new champion and kind of, you know, leave Huawei by the wayside. What do you read into the fact that they've basically said, yeah, we know you hate this company, but things are different now. We're sticking with it and we're going to funnel everything through that, through the company that you all hate, and give them all the technology and make them our standard bearer. That to me is a big change in tact by the CCP.
So I would challenge your assumption that outside of the US and a few of the Western countries, Huawei is extremely popular, does very well, is not controversial.
In Asia, certainly.
The global South, certain parts of Europe, Hungary, for example. This comes on the heels of this pattern that we see with the sanctions and everything else. We radically overestimate ourselves and we substantially underestimate our geopolitical adversaries. Like, to answer your specific question, I believe they just simply won the internal contest. And China's not going to let outside factors influence who their national champion's going to be.
I guess that's my point. China is not going to back down now. They're at a point where they can dig their heels and say, okay, well, we don't care. Huawei is our horse and we're going to ride it.
Xi Jinping has made this, alongside energy independence, the most important national strategy. In your long history of observing China from wherever you are in the world, have you ever known the CCP to fail after its leader publicly proclaims something as absolutely critical? They will grind this problem down until it is solved. In my experience in industry, we're going to take over solar, boom, 99%. We're going to take over EVs, boom, $10,000 electric vehicle. They tell you what they're going to do. They're like Babe Ruth calling their shot. They're going to become self-sufficient in semiconductors.
It's this disconnect between self-sufficiency and export dominance that I think is probably the crucial change here. That's where we're going to see something different.
The full conversation is available to subscribers to the copper and silver tiers of my website, grant-williams.com.
Nothing we discussed should be considered as investment advice. This conversation is for informational and hopefully entertainment purposes only. So while we hope you find it both informative and entertaining, please do your own research or speak to a financial advisor before putting a dime of your money into these crazy markets.